You may be seated. Our last case this morning is 2021-124, State of Ohio versus GK. Sitting for Justice Donnelly is Judge Michael Hess from the 4th District Court of Appeals. Welcome, Judge.
Thank you, Chief.
All right. Mr. Oshaki.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, Assistant Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Greg Oshaki, on behalf of the appellant, the State of Ohio, I would ask to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Today, the state is asking this court to reverse the 8th District and to find that if a criminal case is not eligible for sealing, individual dismissed counts within that case cannot be sealed. The basis, I'm going to focus on two main reasons why that can't happen. The first is this court's decision in Futrell. Futrell, the court indicated that a trial court cannot seal any conviction in a criminal case when one conviction in that case is exempt from sealing. One of the reasons that this court gave is because what records are required to be sealed? The statute says that all official records and all index references are required to be sealed when a case is sealed. And this court indicated that partial sealing would be impossible. A trial court can't order all of the records sealed while at the same time ordering that records of one conviction be maintained.
So are you saying it's for a clerical impossibility? That's the rationale?
No, this court said that it is impossible for the clerks.
It's a clerical nightmare. That's what
Correct.
They're saying. They're trying to avoid a clerical nightmare. But I just wonder, is it really a clerical nightmare?
The amicus briefs that were filed on behalf of the state do indicate that it's a clerical nightmare. So
should that trump the decisions to not allow a sealing of this that prohibits individuals from gaining employment, living certain places? Is the burden, the clerical burden, greater than the burden on the defendants who want these done?
Well,
or the petitioners, I'm sorry.
That would be a policy decision, Your Honor. And this court has said that the General Assembly recognized that inherent difficulty, and that the General Assembly decided that partial sealing, based on the words that it used in the statute, cannot happen.
The question in front of us, though, is what the statute says, not whether or not it's easy or hard for the clerk of court to seal a case, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The statute says that, and this is under Revised Code 2953.52, that all official records are to be sealed. All official records, as defined in 2953.51D, include all notations in the criminal docket, all papers and documents filed by the prosecutor, all papers and documents filed by the defendant. All fingerprints would have to be sealed. How can you seal fingerprints for dismissed counts, but not seal fingerprints for the counts that remain open? All DNA specimens are required to be sealed under the statute. All DNA profiles and all DNA records. Again, you can't seal all DNA records and leave some DNA records open because of one conviction. Just as it's impossible to partially...
But Mr. Oshaki, isn't this very thing already happening? Isn't there partial sealing going on? I won't ask you across the state, but it's in Cuyahoga County?
No, there's not, Your Honor.
No cases that have been partially sealed?
Other than GK, there's no case where there's been partial sealing ordered. Now, there's been cases where if you have multiple co-defendants, one co-defendant's case may be sealed. But if the other co-defendant's case is not eligible for sealing, that's not sealed.
So The amici briefs are incorrect.
I'm sorry?
You can't answer to that, but I had in my notes here the amici briefs are saying that there has been partial sealing that has already taken place. But you can't. It's not your brief, so I won't have you answer that.
Yeah, I would hazard to guess that by partial sealing, the amicis, you mean the amicis on behalf of the state?
No, Public Defender and Association of
Criminal. The Public Defender's Office, I mean, they took one copy of an indictment in a multi-defendant case and sealed one defendant's name out of the indictment. Now, that's one item that's cherry-picked out of an entire...
But isn't that partial sealing?
It's not a partial sealing of that defendant who's blacked out's case. It is a partial sealing of that defendant's name in another case. That other case has not been sealed.
The other case, I'm sorry, has not been or has been?
Correct. The case, otherwise the public defender would not have been able to get a hold of the indictment.
Got it.
So when we talk about the legislature's maybe rationale for this, in 2953.61, there is an out to have your record sealed if you have a charge and then you have things such as GK has, charges that are not sealed, is when the case, or excuse me, the charge that you pled guilty to or were found guilty of is eligible for sealing, then the rest of it can be sealed simultaneously. Unfortunately, I guess, in this case, he's prohibited from having it sealed because of a combination of cases or convictions.
Correct, Your Honor. At the time the application was filed, GK was ineligible to seal this case. He did not qualify as an eligible offender because he had an additional felony and an additional misdemeanor. At the time, you were allowed to have one felony conviction, two misdemeanors, one felony, and one misdemeanor.
Okay, so that has changed.
That statute has changed. And in fact, today, GK would be eligible to have the entire case sealed.
Exactly.
But that still doesn't change the situation here where you have a request to seal dismissed counts in a case before the entire case is eligible to be sealed as under...
But now it's eligible to be sealed.
Now this conviction is, yes, Your Honor.
This conviction and therefore the charges that went along with the original...
Correct, Your Honor.
The whole charges.
But it's eligible to be sealed under 2953.32. It's not eligible to be sealed under 2953.52, which deals with dismissed counts. It would be eligible to be sealed under convictions.
So under that rationale, instead of the state dismissing, what GK should have done was say, no, let me go to trial and let me be found not guilty?
No, because at the time, Your Honor, he would still have been ineligible.
So his ineligibility for sealing is the tampering count or?
It's the obstruction.
The obstruction count, okay.
But I thought that his criminal record even prevented the obstruction count from being sealed.
At that time, Your Honor, it did. The expungement statutes have been amended.
Counsel, are you saying the case is moot?
No, I'm not, Your Honor, because this situation can pop up numerous times. If, for instance, GK's original, if his criminal history, if his misdemeanor count had been a felony, then this case would still be before this court.
But it's not.
This case is not, Your Honor.
I'm just saying, this case sounds, from what you're saying, you're trying to say it's moot.
No, it's not, Your Honor, because your eligibility is determined on the date that you file your application.
So if he withdraws his application and then refiles it under the appropriate statute, he may have this whole thing cleared up?
Correct, Your Honor. And he would be an eligible offender under the amended statute that's in place today.
Mr. Ochocki, assuming that's not the case, what about our inherent authority to seal the record and to prevent an injustice and to protect his privacy interest in an exceptional case. How do you feel about that?
Your Honor, my first issue with that is that that relief was never even requested in the trial court. It was never briefed in the appellate court. The appellate panel, sua sponte, raised that issue, and it raised it on faulty premises. The unique and exceptional circumstances that the court relied upon, number one, was the alleged recantation of the victim. At the first expungement hearing, GK's counsel got up and said, "I think the victim may have recanted. I'm not sure." He said twice, "I think she recanted." Somewhere between that 2014 hearing and the 8th District's opinion, that thought became a fact. And there's absolutely no evidence in the record that this victim recanted her testimony. The second faulty premise is the DNA. This was not a DNA case. This was a delayed disclosure. The events that GK was charged with as far as the sexual assaults occurred on June 20th. The victim, who was a 37-year-old developmentally disabled individual, did not disclose this to her caretaker until 6 days later. So this was not a DNA case.
But so are those facts so relevant with regard to the eligibility of GW to get this sealed? GK, I'm sorry.
To get this sealed under the court?
Are the substantive facts you gave, whether there was a recantation, whether there was DNA evidence, does that matter, or should it matter for purposes of whether this can be sealed, whether he's eligible?
Yes, because that's what the 8th District relied on. It relied on facts that were completely outside of the record.
But aren't you saying that regardless of that, he's not eligible because he has a conviction in one part of this case, and then the other charges were dismissed, but it's the same case?
That's correct, Your Honor. But there's no mechanism to partially seal, and the legislature has...
Right, so why are the facts that you just gave relevant?
Because that's what the 8th District relied upon, Your Honor. The 8th District said the unique and exceptional circumstances were the recantation, which didn't occur, and the DNA exoneration, which didn't occur.
So if GK were to dismiss and refile, would the prosecutor's office still be in the posture of opposing the sealing of the obstruction and the dismissed charges?
We would have to, what would happen, Your Honor, if he would refile, is an expungement investigation report would be generated. Based upon a review of that report, if he is an eligible offender, our office would not oppose. That makes one of the items that we'd have to make sure is that he does not have any current pending criminal cases, that he doesn't have any criminal cases that have been adjudicated between this case and the new application that would render him ineligible.
But the fact that he previously had a criminal record that even made it impossible at the time he applied to have the obstruction conviction sealed, that doesn't have any more bearing?
That does not, Your Honor. He can reapply.
Counsel, is the threshold issue before this court is whether 295352 is ambiguous or not? If we would find that it's not ambiguous, do we need to go into marshal the facts of the particular case? Do we need to go into the 295361 factors? Do we need to go into Pepper Pike? Any of those things? If it's found to be not ambiguous, is that the end of this discussion?
First of all, Your Honor, I don't think that the issue on ambiguity applies to GK. The ambiguity determined, the first part of the statute talks about whether or not there was a finding of not guilty in the case. And then the ambiguity is later when you talk about what can be sealed, it says you have to be found not guilty in the case, not guilty in the entire case. So that doesn't apply here. There was not a finding of not guilty by a court or by a jury.
But the appellate court did find it to be ambiguous.
The appellate court did find it to be ambiguous, but again, I don't think that statute applies to this. That ambiguity would apply to GK. And secondly, if it is considered ambiguous, I think the court would have to look at the other sealing statutes to determine what that ambiguity means. And if you look at Revised Code 2953.31, the definition of official records is the same definition of official records as in 2953.52D with one minor exception. So you'd be looking at the same records. The same records would have to be able to be sealed in both. The same records which in connection with Futrol, this court held could not be sealed, are the same records that could not be sealed under .52. You also look at the Revised Code 2953.61, the legislature has prohibited partial sealing. The very last sentence of Part Section B says that the court shall not order that only a portion of the record be sealed. Now, that's in circumstances where you have a vehicle, a moving violation that's not a driving while intoxicated or under the influence, and you have other cases that are eligible to be sealed. Because your traffic violations can't be sealed. So under that circumstance, you would say, well, because there's cases that can't be sealed, there's a count that can't be sealed, the entire case can't be sealed. That's not what the legislature said. The legislature said, in that circumstance, you seal the entire case, including the moving violation, which is normally unsealable. Because again, in 2014, the legislature determined that you can't partially seal a case.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would just ask that the court reverse the 8th District and find that a criminal case that is not eligible for sealing, individual charges within that case cannot be sealed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zuckerman?
Thank you. Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. Larry Zuckerman on behalf of GK. Your Honors, the government asks you to not look at an entire statute when making a determination as whether to exclude my client from being able to seal these partial indictment in this case. When you look at Revised Code 2953.61, you have to read the entire section. And in that section, Your Honors, it says, and I'll quote part of it, with the same act, it may not apply to the court pursuant to 2953.32. So two or more offenses as a result of or in connection with the same act. Here, Futrol and Periage give us direction. What do we look at? We look at two things, Your Honors. One, we look at the applicant and the acts of the applicant. Here, the applicant is GK. You look at the conviction. That's what you start with. The conviction was for obstruction of justice. The only act that pertained to obstruction of justice in this case was the tampering with evidence. Those occurred in July of 2009. The heinous allegations occurred in June of 2009, and my client was exonerated. Listen, I was the trial counsel in that case, and I think I'm an okay lawyer, but I just don't walk into a courtroom and prosecutors just say, oh, come up, Mr. Zuckerman, we're just going to dismiss these sentences where your client is facing life imprisonment. That unfortunately just doesn't happen to me. I have to fight for my clients, and I did in this case. And this woman recanted. The prosecutor in the case is now a magistrate. The Court of Common Pleas, Cuyahoga County. He dismissed the case pursuant to his approval by his supervisor. Justice Michael Donnelly.
Except there was the obstruction.
Yes, which was, and if you look at Futrell and you look at Periage, Justice Lansinger wrote the opinion in Periage. And the test she looked at was, let's look at the actions of the applicant. In the actions of the applicant in that case, there was a driving offense and, I believe, a possession of marijuana. The accused in that case pled guilty to the driving offense, which is not sealable. The offense is not sealable. And then the drug offense was dismissed. They were in two separate cases. The defense lawyer applied to seal the drug offense. It was granted. The Court of Appeals reversed, saying, wait, these are all part of the same conduct, the same activity at the same time, the same defendant, the same arresting officer, the same car. It happened. It arose out of the same conduct.
But we're two separate cases.
Two separate cases. Then this honorable court took it up. And Justice Lansinger said, wait a second. We're not going to allow two separate cases to prevent us from applying the statute. And they said, as a result of or in connection with the same act, as a result of or in connection with the same act, the same act, not different acts, not an obstruction over here in the sex allegations over here, the same act. The conviction in GK's case was the act of obstruction of justice. It was not the other actions. The other actions were accepted by her father, and he died in prison.
Were all the charges, the offenses, in connection with each other?
Not under Futrell, Futrell didn't decide that. Not under Periage, no, Your Honor. They did not occur at the same time. And I'm going from the opinion and this court's interpretation of that section of this revised code section.
But the obstruction offense over to your right, you need to look, I think it's your right, left, whatever.
I'm sorry, Justice.
It's okay. The obstruction offense was a separate incident and could have been charged by a separate indictment, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. And I appreciate, thank you, Your Honor, because here, basically what the government has done, the executive branch has done, is by charging it all in one indictment, they're saying, because we put it in one indictment, you can't get it sealed. Gamesmanship.
Well, maybe, but, I mean, because maybe they couldn't foresee that this would happen.
Yes, Your Honor.
So explain to me, Prosecutor Ochocki said, if GK were to apply now, and based on the report, assuming nothing else has happened, he could get it sealed now.
Absolutely.
What would be the difference then? Well, one, as Justice Fisher asked, then doesn't this make this moot? And then what would be the difference then from the clerical standpoint of whether this court allowed the sealing now or we don't, and you go back and you get it under the new statute? How does that affect this clerical nightmare?
Well, I can only listen. When I got your decision saying you accepted jurisdiction in this case, I got sick to my stomach. Listen, there's no time a criminal defense lawyer ever wants to be in front of the Supreme Court. It's usually not a good thing. So, In this case, Your Honor, I figured, well, you wanted to get rid of Pepper Pike versus Jane Doe. You all attempted to do that a couple years ago, and I thought maybe the court was going to use that as an opportunity to get rid of Pepper Pike versus Jane Doe, or maybe the court was going to extend Futrell and Periage to now this extension, which I respectfully would say would be not precedential anymore because of the change in the statute. I mean, there would be no guidance anymore under this particular statute because it had been changed and could not be used now as applicable. But so I was not happy that you accepted jurisdiction, but Your Honor, if Judge Bell, he's now the judge on the case, would accept the case, we could apply, either if you determine that, either way, however you rule, we could reapply. So was, I don't know if anybody went to Case Law School and had Spencer Neff, but he always used to say, so what? and I'm not disrespecting you all at all, but it, you know, it, this decision in this case is, as the justice pointed out, maybe it really just an exercise of futility because it will have, I don't think, any precedential value.
And, well, yes, all right, for your client, but
yes, Your Honor,
2953-61 is still in place.
Oh yes, Your Honor, absolutely.
Okay, and it still says what it says about at least one of the charges has a final disposition that is different from the final disposition of the other. Okay, it still has the same act language, the two sentences up. A person is charged with two or more offenses as a result of or in connection with the same act may not apply to the court pursuant to 2953-32. And 2953.52, for the sealing of the person's record in relation to any of the charges, when at least one of the charges has a final disposition. So you're still going to have clients that have this happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. And that's where I think this honorable court has already addressed that in the Periage decision. I think that that's guiding precedence in this case.
Okay. So you want us?
Sorry.
You want us to apply that? Or, I mean, it's a little confusing because it's not going to have any effect on your client because you can tomorrow go in and petition for under the new statute, right, to have a sealing?
When the court returns the case to the docket of the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas, if you do, then yes, I can do that.
Okay.
So for future clients who might be triggered by this, they can do the same thing?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
But you could have situations where someone may be in a similar situation but still would be needing to have this statute discussed, interpreted, applied?
Yes, Your Honor, especially in light of what Mr. Chihaki said to you earlier, where he said that that B1 now prohibits the legislature prohibits partial sealing, and he blanketly applied that to all Section B and A, and that's incorrect. It only applies to situations where there are traffic offenses, such as there was in some of the opinions cited in his brief. Those are specifically excluded from being sealed.
Counsel, you mentioned Pepper Pike and your colleague on the other side said it wasn't raised at trial, was it?
I believe I put it in my brief. I did. I mean, I was partners with Mr. Hindenburg and Judge Burnside. Mr. Hindenburg argued the case, and Judge Burnside wrote the brief. And
was it raised or wasn't it?
I believe it was raised. I can't. Okay. I can't answer that right now, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
But nonetheless, I don't think the court needs to go there to affirm the decision in this case. I think the clear reading of 2953.61, if you look at the conviction for obstruction of justice, it's a separate offense from the sex offenses. And it doesn't preclude my client from having these records sealed. I mean, he was charged with heinous offenses. And I was in my 40s when this case started. I'm in my 60s now. And he's been living with this for a long time.
So my understanding, if I recall the facts, he was asked to go take a computer and
put it in his garage.
Yes.
Remove
it from, okay, and then he had a change of heart, and he goes to the police and gives it to him?
The detective came to him and interviewed him, and then he gave it to the detective.
Okay, so he just removed it, but when asked for it, he turned it over.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Had nothing to do with any act activity that his taking of the laptop had nothing to do with any of the activity of the sexual assault.
No, in fact, the police did a forensic examination of the computer, and there was no incriminating evidence whatsoever on the computer.
Then what did he obstruct? What did the computer have that?
He took it, and they had no access to it. So that's what they were saying.
Did he know they were looking for it?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't know. Judge Keough took exception with my conduct in her concurring opinion. She felt as though I should have tried the case. And if I had tried the case, we wouldn't be here. Okay. So, last, Your Honor, with regard to some of the items that my colleague had raised, the RC 2953.52 is ambiguous and does lead to absurd results. If you have a case where a client goes to trial, if you have a case, for example, in this case, if the prosecutor dismissed the sex charges and then we went to trial on the obstruction of justice charges and he was found not guilty of the obstruction charges, by virtue of a dismissal, because the government is saying that a dismissal is not properly sealable offense, you couldn't seal that, even though you have the same result because you didn't have a finding of not guilty. And he's looking for those as talismanic words, finding of not guilty.
But as I posed the hypothetical to Mr. Ochocki, if instead of the cases being dismissed, he said, no, let's try them, and he's found not guilty, he'd still be in the same situation.
Still be in the same situation, but the courthouse will be clogged because everybody will be trying their cases. If word comes out that you can't get sealed offenses or dismissed offenses sealed, everybody in the courthouse is going to be trying the cases as opposed to allowing the prosecutor to dismiss them because it'll be there for the rest of your life.
But if you try them and you're found not guilty.
Okay, so that's what I said. Nobody will accept a dismissal. The courthouses will be clogged, and every
but
case
why?
Will have to go to trial.
I don't understand your logic.
That's the reality of the situation, Your Honor.
But if you can't get it sealed either way, dismissal or not guilty, mm-hmm. right? Is that correct?
You can get it dismissed if not guilty. Under the government's interpretation of RC 2953.52, if it's found not guilty by a court or a judge, you can get it sealed.
But in this situation, he has the obstruction charge.
Yes,
he's got that conviction. The other charges are the sex offenses.
Right.
Those are dismissed.
Right.
Now, if he knows he's innocent and his counsel says, you know, you're not going to be found guilty on this. Let's take it to trial so you can be found not guilty. If he's found not guilty, but he still has the obstruction conviction, mm-hmm. you're saying he can get that sealed? Because Mr. Ochocki says no, he's still ineligible because of the obstruction conviction.
He's still ineligible. I believe that the. Wait, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm missing you. You're on.
So if you couldn't get it sealed anyway, I don't see defendants breaking down the door for a trial.
The government's interpretation, you can't get it sealed. Correct. But if that's an absurd result.
So you're not going to take your chances and go to trial when you can get it dismissed.
But what you would do, Your Honor, is the government is not going to say to you, they're going to say to you, well, I'll dismiss the sex charges, but you have to plead guilty to the obstruction charge. And you say, no, I'm going to trial on everything.
On everything.
But
right,
then you're in Cuyahoga County. If you don't take a deal, you go to trial on everything. So you have to risk going to trial on everything. And a prosecutor then is put in the untenable position where they're going to have to prosecute a case where they believe they don't have probable cause to proceed to trial. So they wanted to dismiss the charge. You object to the dismissal of the charge because you can't seal the case. And then you go to trial. So your client has to run the gamut of potentially being found guilty. Prosecutor has to try a case where There isn't probable cause.
You're saying that, you have to have the defendant's approval to dismiss a charge?
No, I don't believe you do, Your Honor. You, have to have a judge's approval.
Okay. And if the prosecutor goes to the judge and says, Judge, I've got this handful of charges, he wants to go to trial on it, just because of the aftermath effect, if he's found not guilty, you know, the sealing element of it, is that sufficient for a judge to say, okay, let's take everything to trial? You've got to take everything to trial, even though, in good faith, you know you don't have the goods to take it to trial.
It depends upon the judge, and it depends upon the prosecutor. The prosecutor may offer a plea bargain that says, either take this, or we're going to trial.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Oshaki, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Mr. Oshaki, can you explain how, under the new statute, the clerical nightmare will disappear?
Under the new statute, Your Honor, you may be eligible for an expungement if you have up to five felony, or you can have an unlimited number of F4s and F5s, okay?
And this is sealing. Is it different?
This is the sealing statute, Your Honor. Under the new 2953.31,
okay,
the definition of an eligible offender includes somebody in GK's situation that has, he has an F1 drug offense, okay? He has this F5 obstruction, and he has the misdemeanor drug abuse, I believe it is. Okay, so you would look at subsection 2953.A1b, which says if you have, you can be eligible if you have not more than two felonies.
Okay, so let's assume he's eligible,
right,
under the new statute.
And he would be eligible under that subsection. Right?
And if the report comes back fine, he can get it sealed.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different than, from a clerical standpoint, from the clerk's office?
Because under the new statute, Your Honor, the entire case would be sealed.
So even his obstruction conviction?
Yes, the obstruction, okay, conviction. He would move to seal the case under the sealing of convictions, 2953.32. So,
which automatically pulls in the dismissed charges.
Yes, Your Honor. That would allow the entire case to be sealed.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Sorry, I impinged on your rebuttal.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marsha, we call a recess.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.